I would have chosen you still.
Now that is truly amusing. Come on, come with me. You don't want to stand in this drafty hall forever.
You kept a perfectly straight face, but your eyes rolled like a calf's.
She's pretty, isn't she?
The woman, who looked like Thekla, opened a door, and we were in a tiny bedroom with an immense bed. A cold thurible hung from the ceiling by a silver gilt chain. A lampstand supporting a pink-tinted light stood in one corner. There was a tiny dressing table with a mirror, a narrow wardrobe, and hardly room enough for us to move.
Would you like to undress me?
I nodded and reached for her.
Then I warn you, you must be careful of my clothes.
She turned away from me.
This fastens at the back. Begin at the top, at the back of my neck. If you get excited and tear something, he'll make you pay for it. Don't say you haven't been told.
My fingers found a tiny catch and loosed it.
I would think, Chatelaine Thekla, that you would have plenty of clothes.
I do. But do you think I want to return to the House Absolute in a torn gown?
You must have others here.
A few. But I can't keep much in this place. Someone takes things when I'm gone.
The stuff between my fingers, which had looked so bright and rich in the colonnaded blue room below, was thin and cheap.
No satins, I suppose, I said as I unfastened the next catch. No sables and no diamonds.
Of course not.
I took a step away from her. It brought my back almost to the door.
There was nothing of Thekla about her. All that had been a chance resemblance, some gestures, a similarity in dress.
I was standing in a small, cold room, looking at the neck and bare shoulders of some poor young woman, whose parents perhaps accepted their share of Roach's meager silver gratefully, and pretended not to know where their daughter went at night.
You are not the Chatelaine Thekla, I said.
What am I doing here with you?
There was surely more in my voice than I had intended. She turned to face me, the thin cloth of her gown sliding away from her breasts. I saw fear flicker across her face as though directed by a mirror. She must have been in the situation before, and it must have turned out badly for her.
I am Thekla, she said, if you want me to be.
I raised my hand, and she added quickly,
there are people here to protect me. All I have to do is scream. You may hit me once, but you won't hit me twice.
No,
I told her.
Yes, there are. Three men.
There is no one. This whole floor is empty and cold. Don't you think I've noticed how quiet it is? Roach and his girl stayed below and perhaps got a better room there because he paid. The woman we saw at the top of the stair was leaving and wanted to speak to you first. Look.
I took her by the waist and lifted her into the air.
Scream! No one will come!
She was silent. I dropped her on the bed and after a moment sat down beside her.
You are angry because I'm not Thekla. But I would have been Thekla for you. I will be still.
She slipped the strange coat from my shoulders and let it fall.
You're very strong.
No, I'm not.
I knew that some of the boys who were afraid of me were already stronger than I.
Very strong. Aren't you strong enough to master reality, even for a little while?
What do you mean?
Weak people believe what is forced on them. Strong people what they wish to believe, forcing that to be real. What is the Autarch? But a man who believes himself Autarch and makes others believe by the strength of it.
You are not the Chatelaine Thekla, I told her.
But don't you see, neither is she. The Chatelaine Thekla, whom I doubt you've ever laid eyes on. No, I see I'm wrong. Have you been to the House Absolute?
Her hands, small and warm, were on my own right hand, pressing. I shook my head.
Sometimes clients say they have. I always find pleasure in hearing them.
Have they been? Really?
She shrugged.
I was saying that the Chatelaine Thekla is not the Chatelaine Thekla. Not the Chatelaine Thekla of your mind, which is the only Chatelaine Thekla you care about.
Neither am I.
What then is the difference between us?
None, I suppose.
While I was undressing, I said,
nevertheless, we all seek to discover what is real. Why is it? Perhaps we are drawn to the Thea Center. That's what the Hierophants say. That only that is true.
She kissed my thighs, knowing she had won.
Are you really ready to find it? You must be clothed in favor, remember. Otherwise, you will be given over to the torturers. You wouldn't like that.
No, I said, and took her head between my hands.
Chapter 10. The Last Year. I think it was Master Gerlo's intention that I should be brought to that house often so I would not become too much attracted to Thikla. In actuality, I permitted Roach to pocket the money and never went there again. The pain had been too pleasurable, the pleasure too painful, so that I feared that in time my mind would no longer be the thing I knew. Then, too, before Roach and I had left the house, the white-haired man, catching my eye, had drawn from the bosom of his robe what I had at first thought was an icon, but soon saw to be a golden vial in the shape of a phallus. He had smiled, and because there had been nothing but friendship in his smile, it had frightened me. Some days passed before I could rid my thoughts of Thikla, of certain impressions belonging to the false Thikla who had initiated me into the anacreontic diversions and fruitions of men and women. Possibly this had an effect opposite to that Master Gerlo's intended, but I do not think so. I believe I was never less inclined to love the unfortunate woman than when I carried in my memory the recent impressions of having enjoyed her freely. It was, as I saw it more and more clearly, for the untruth it was that I felt myself drawn to redress the fact, and drawn through her, though I was hardly conscious of it at the time, to the world of ancient knowledge and privilege she represented. The books I had carried to her became my university, she my oracle. I am not an educated man. From Master Palamon I learned little more than to read, write, and cipher, with a few facts concerning the physical world and the requisites of our mystery. If educated men have sometimes thought me, if not their equal, at least one whose company did not shame them, that is owing solely to Thikla. The Thikla I remember, the Thikla who lives in me and the four books. What we read together and what we said of it to one another, I shall not tell. To recount the least of it would wear out this brief night. All that winter, while snow whitened the old yard, I came up from the oubliette as if from sleep and started to see the tracks my feet left behind me and my shadow on the snow. Thikla was sad that winter, yet she delighted in talking to me of the secrets of the past, of the conjectures formed of higher spheres, and of the arms and histories of heroes millennia dead. Spring came, and with it the purple-striped and white-dotted lilies of the necropolis. I carried them to her, and she said my beard had shot up like them, and I should be bluer of cheek than the run of common men, and the next day begged my pardon for it, saying I was that already. With the warm weather, and I think the blossoms I brought, her spirits lifted. When we traced the insignia of old houses, she talked of friends of her own station and the marriages they had made, good and bad, and how such and such a one had exchanged her future for a ruined stronghold because she had seen it in a dream, and how another who had played at dolls with her when they were children was the mistress now of so many thousands of leagues. And there must be a new Autarch, and perhaps an Autarchia sometime, you know, Severian. Things can go on as they have for a long while, but not forever. I know little of the court, Chatelain. The less you know, the happier you will be. She paused, white teeth nibbling her delicately curved lower lip. When my mother was in labor, she had the servants carry her to the Vatic fountain, whose virtue is to reveal what is to come. It prophesied I should sit a throne. Thea has always envied me that. Still, the Autarch.
Yes?
It would be better if I didn't say too much. The Autarch is not like other people. No matter how I may talk sometimes, on all of Urth there is no one like him.
I know that.
Then that is enough for you. Look here, she held up the brown book. Here it says, it was the thought of Thalelius the Great that the democracy, that means the people, desired to be ruled by some power superior to itself, and of Eryx the Sage that the commonality would never permit one differing from themselves to hold high office. Notwithstanding this, each is called the perfect master.
I did not see what she meant and said nothing.
No one really knows what the Autarch will do. That's what it all comes down to. Or Father Aneri, either. When I first came to court, I was told, as a great secret, that it was Father Aneri who really determined the policy of the Commonwealth. When I had been there 2 years, a man very highly placed, I can't even tell you his name, said it was the Autarch who ruled, though to those in the House Absolute it might seem that it was Father Aneri. And last year a woman whose judgment I trust more than any man's confided that it really made no difference, because they were both as unfathomable as the pelagic deeps, and if one decided things while the moon waxed and the other when the wind was in the east, no one could tell the difference anyway. I thought that was wise counsel, until I realized she was only repeating something I had said to her myself half a year before.
Thekla fell silent, reclining on the narrow bed, her dark hair spread on the pillow.
"At least," I said, "you were right to have confidence in that woman. She had taken her opinions from a trustworthy source."
As if she had not heard me, she murmured, "But it's all true, Severian. No one knows what they may do.
I might be freed tomorrow. It's quite possible. They must know by now that I am here. Don't look at me like that. My friends will speak with Father Neri. Perhaps some may even mention me to the Autarch. You know why I was taken, don't you?
Something about your sister.
My half-sister Thea is with Vodalus. They say she is his paramour, and I think it extremely likely."
I recalled the beautiful woman at the top of the stairs in the House Azure and said, "I think I saw your half-sister once. It was in the necropolis. There was an exultant with her who carried a cane sword and was very handsome. He told me he was Vodalus. The woman had a heart-shaped face and a voice that made me think of doves. Was that she?"
"I suppose so. They want her to betray him to save me, and I know she won't. But when they discover that, why shouldn't they let me go?"
I spoke of something else until she laughed and said,
"You are so intellectual, Severian. When you're made a journeyman, you'll be the most cerebral torturer in history." A frightful thought.
"I was under the impression you enjoyed such discussions, Chatelaine."
"Only now, because I can't get out. Though it may come as a shock to you, when I was free, I seldom devoted time to metaphysics. I went dancing instead and pursued the peccary with Pardine Limers. The learning you admire was acquired when I was a girl and sat with my tutor under the threat of the stick."
"We need not talk of such things, Chatelaine, if you would rather we not."
She stood and thrust her face into the center of the bouquet I had picked for her.
"Flowers are better theology than folios, Severian. Is it beautiful in the necropolis where you got these? You aren't bringing me the flowers from graves, are you? Cut flowers someone brought?"
"No. These were planted long ago. They come up every year."
At the slot in the door, Drott said, "Time to go," and I stood up.
"Do you think you may see her again, the Chatelaine Thea, my sister?"
"I don't think so, Chatelaine."
"If you should, Severian, will you tell her about me? They may not have been able to communicate with her. There will be no treason in that. You'll be doing the Autarch's work."
"I will, Chatelaine."
I was stepping through the doorway.
"She won't betray Vodalus, I know, but there may be some compromise."
Drott closed the door and turned the key. It had not escaped me that Thekla had not asked how her sister and Vodalus had come to be in our ancient and, by such people as themselves, forgotten necropolis. The corridor, with its lines of metal doors and cold, sweating walls, seemed dark after the lamp in the cell. Drott began to talk of an expedition he and Roach had made to a lion pit across Jaiol. Over the sound of his voice, I heard Thekla calling faintly,
"Remind her of the time we sewed Josepha's doll."
The lilies faded as lilies do, when the dark death roses came into bloom. I cut them and carried them to Thekla, negrescent purple flecked with scarlet. She smiled and recited,
"Here rose the graced, not rose the chaste, reposes. The scent that rises is no scent of roses."
"If their odor offends you, Chatelaine..."
"Not at all. It is very sweet. I was only quoting something my grandmother used to say. The woman was infamous when she was a girl, or so she told me, and all the children chanted that rhyme when she died. Actually, I suspect it is much older, and lost in time, like the beginnings of all the good and bad things. Men are said to desire women, Severian. Why do they despise the women they obtain?"
"I don't believe all do, Chatelaine."
"That beautiful rose gave herself, and suffered such mockery for it that I know of it, though her dreams long ago turned to dust with her smooth flesh."
Come here and sit by me. I did as I was told, and she slipped her hands under the frayed bottom of my shirt and drew it over my head. I protested, but found myself unable to resist.
What are you ashamed of? You who have no breasts to hide? I've never seen such white skin coupled with dark hair. Do you think my own skin white?
Very white, Chatelaine.
So do others. But it is done next to yours. You must flee the sun when you're a torturer, Severian. You'll burn terribly.
Her hair, which she often let fall free, today was bound about her head in a dark aureole. End of side two. To continue, change side selector switch and turn the cassette over.